The processional hymn is number 281, Rejoice, the Lord is King. You may take your seat. I want to bid you a very warm welcome to this service of Holy Communion. My name is Trevor. I have been with you a few weeks ago and delighted to be back among you for this service of Holy Communion. There's just a few announcements which I maybe will share with you and then they'll be over. So Monday, as tomorrow, 8 p.m., Mother's Union in the parochial hall. And I think the theme there is Christmas crafts. Wednesday, 8 p.m., the bowling club in the hall. And also at 8 p.m. on Wednesday, the Christmas Fair Organising Committee meeting in the rectory. Thursday, 8 p.m., it's the choir practice. And Friday, between 7 and 8.30, confirmation class followed by rehearsal in the church. Now, Sunday next, 10 o'clock, there will be no service here. At 3.30, the rite of confirmation by the bishop, followed by tea in the parochial hall. And the bishop particularly asked that parishioners support those being admitted to full membership of the church by being present at next week's confirmation service. Friday the 29th of November, 7 to 9 p.m., the parish Christmas fair in the hall. Orders for holly wreaths may be made by placing your name on the sheet on the table at the church entrance. And so on or before the 1st of December, contributions to Lisburn Food Bank requested, especially bottles of Slur and small selection boxes. So those are all the notices. Thank you for listening so carefully. The service of Holy Communion begins on page 201. Shall we stand? The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Almighty God, Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Lord, have mercy on us and write these your laws in our hearts. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Shall we pray? Almighty God, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Please take your seat for the collect. The collect of the second Sunday before Advent. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, whose blessed Son was revealed to destroy the works of the devil and to make us the children of God and heirs of eternal life, grant that we, having this hope, may purify ourselves even as he is pure, that when he shall appear in power and great glory, we may be made like him in his eternal and glorious kingdom, who is alive and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading is from the first book of Samuel, chapter 1, beginning at verse 4. On the day when Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to his wife Peninnah and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he gave a double portion, because he loved her, though the Lord had closed her womb. Her rival used to provoke her severely, to irritate her, because the Lord had closed her womb. So it went on, year after year. As often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she used to provoke her. Therefore Hannah wept and would not eat. Her husband Elkanah said to her, "Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? Why is your heart sad? Am I not more to you than 10 sons? After they had eaten and drunk at Shiloh, Hannah rose and presented herself before the Lord. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat beside the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. She made this vow, "O Lord of hosts, if only you will look on the misery of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a male child, then I will set him before you as a Nazarite until the day of his death. He shall drink neither wine nor intoxicants, and no razor shall touch his head." As she continued praying before the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying silently. Only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she was drunk. So Eli said to her, "How long will you make a drunken spectacle of yourself? Put away your wine." But Hannah answered, "No, my lord, I am a woman deeply troubled. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation all this time." Then Eli answered, "Go in peace. The God of Israel grant the petition you have made to him." And she said, "Let your servant find favor in your sight." Then the woman went to her quarters, ate and drank with her husband, and her countenance was sad no longer. They rose early in the morning and worshipped before the Lord. Then they went back to their house at Ramah. Elkanah knew his wife Hannah, and the Lord remembered her. In due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son. She named him Samuel, for she said, "I have asked him of the Lord." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 10, beginning at verse 11. "And every priest stands day after day at his service, offering again and again the same sacrifices that can never take away sins. But when Christ had offered for all time a single sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God, and since then has been waiting until his enemies would be made a footstool for his feet. For by a single offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also testifies to us, for after saying, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds." He also adds, "I will remember their sins and their lawless deeds no more. Where there is forgiveness of these, there is no longer any offering for sin." Therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through the flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, readers. We're going to stand and sing the gradual hymn. It's from the church hymnal 115, "Thou art the way, to thee alone." Hear the gospel of our Saviour Christ according to St. Mark, chapter 13, beginning at verse 1.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus.
As he came out of the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what large stones and what large buildings." Then Jesus asked him, "Do you see these great buildings? Not one stone will be left here upon another. All will be thrown down." When he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, "Tell us, when will this be? And what will be the sign that all these things are about to be accomplished?" Then Jesus began to say to them, "Beware that no one leads you astray. Many will come in my name and say, 'I am he,' and they will lead many astray. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. This must take place, but the end is still to come. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will be famines. This is but the beginning of the birth pangs. This is the gospel of the Lord. So may I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. A few years ago, I spent a couple of weeks walking part of the Camino in northern Spain. And I'm sure many of you would know someone, maybe you have been on the Camino yourselves, who has taken on that that walk. Many people walk the entire length, which is about 500 miles. But most really take, like myself, a section at a time. Now, the goal for these walkers, or pilgrims, as they like to be known as, is to reach the Cathedral of Santiago, reputed to be the final resting place of St. James the Apostle. And I remember sitting in the square in front of that magnificent building and watching the pilgrims arrive after many weeks or even months of walking. And as they looked at that cathedral, they were amazed. It's such a beautiful building. It's a sight to behold. And I suppose in some ways, the amazement of those disciples, or of those pilgrims, was a bit like that of the disciples that we read about in our gospel reading from Mark chapter 13. They were viewing the architectural wonder of the Jewish world, Herod's temple. It was still not complete as yet and would eventually take 85 years to build. It was not only the place of worship for God's people, it was the center of their world. But Jesus declared that day that it was about to be destroyed. This is what Mark tells us in the opening verses of our passage. As Jesus was leaving the temple, one of his disciples said to him, "Look, teacher, what massive stones, what magnificent building. Do you see all these great buildings?" replied Jesus. "Not one stone will be left upon another. Everyone will be thrown down." I know at this, the disciples, well, they were horrified. To them, this was unthinkable. That glorious building about to be destroyed, to them, that could or should never happen. So they asked Jesus, "When will this happen?" Because to their mind, the destruction of the temple would mark the end of history, the end of time. And yet, how wrong they were. Jesus says to them, "When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is yet to come." And none of us need to be reminded of the wars and the rumors of wars in our world today. It's so terribly sad to sit and watch the horrors of war unfold in Ukraine and in Palestine on our TV screens, with little or no end in sight. I don't know about you, but I often hear people say to me in these days, "Must be near the end of the world. It's got to be.
all these wars raging across the world. They'll say to me, it says in the Bible. That's what it says. But Jesus makes it very clear in this passage that people will try to deceive us, claiming that they can forecast when Christ will return at the end of time. And many of them have been left feeling rather foolish with themselves. Mark tells us that there will be earthquakes, that there will be famines in various places. This is what Mark writes. And we all know that natural disasters continue to cause much pain and distress in our world today. And then Jesus goes on to say, in the few verses that follow our reading, that his followers will face many trials for sharing the gospel message in very dark and dangerous places across the world. And this is happening to God's faithful people to this very day, where Christian missionaries face all kinds of persecution. Jesus says to his disciples, you will be handed over to the local councils. You will be flogged in the synagogues. On account of me, you will stand before governors and kings. Whenever you are arrested and brought to trial, do not worry beforehand what to say. Just say what is given to you at that time. So many Christians have set off from these shores, bringing the good news of the gospel to far-off lands. And many, as I say, suffer times of great and terrible persecution. And yet they can testify to the power and the presence of God in their hour of need. Open Doors is a Christian organization. I'm sure you have heard of it. Founded in 1955 by Brother Andrew. Brother Andrew became known worldwide as God's smuggler because he smuggled Bibles into the communist world. And I was reading on their website that in our world today, 365 million, I'll repeat that, 365 million Christians face persecution for sharing the gospel of Christ. And many, many pay the ultimate price. In 2022 alone, 5,000 Christians were murdered worldwide. Christians simply obeying the call of Jesus to preach the gospel to all nations. And so to hear Jesus talk of the temple being destroyed that day must have distressed those disciples. Down through the pages of the Old Testament, the temple alone represented God's presence with his people. But Jesus knew that inside these beautiful buildings, the worship of God had become more and more hypocritical. The prophet Isaiah spoke God's words, and this is what he said. These people come near to me with their mouths, and they honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Yes, even in New Testament times, people were still flooding into the temple to worship God, to offer sacrifices to God. But when they got outside, their behavior was anything but God-honoring. And so change was coming, and very soon too. And that change meant the coming of the kingdom of God in the hearts and the lives of those who love and follow Jesus. Because in just a few days, Jesus would give his very life on the cross so that a new, living, spiritual temple, not one made of wood and stone, would be established in people's hearts. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Christians in Corinth, says this: "We are the temple of the living God." Yes, you and I, your followers of Jesus today, are the new living stones of the new spiritual temple of God. That magnificent temple in Jerusalem that so amazed those disciples that day could never survive as a place of true godly worship. Sadly, because it had not been built on the foundations of true obedience and devotion to God. If you will all remember from our Sunday school days, the story of the wise and the foolish builders. The wise man built his house upon a rock. The rains came down, streams rose, the winds blew upon that house, yet it did not fall, because it was built on firm foundations. And Jesus goes on to say, "But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is just like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. When the rains came, the winds blew against that house. It fell with a great crash." And so it was with the temple in Jerusalem. Just as Jesus had predicted, that edifice would soon be destroyed, stone by stone, by a Gentile army, the Romans. And those people who had been relying on a building, a magnificent building alone, and not on a worship that was pleasing to God, they were shattered. What they had come to rely on was swept away from before their very eyes. When I was preparing this sermon, and I've almost finished, I read these very challenging words. "Sometimes God has to take away the supports that we have grown to rely on, so that we come to rely on Him alone and learn to follow Him in unexpected ways, trusting that He alone knows what is best for us." It will not be a magnificent temple building that we are relying on. I remember once a lady telling me about how the church building that she had grown up in had to be demolished, and a new one, new modern church had to be built. And you know, with great passion in her voice, she said to me, "Do you know, Trevor, I would give anything to be back in the old building, because church is not the same anymore." And I said to her, "Please do not confuse a church building with the spiritual church, the church of Christ, living and growing in people's hearts." I added that wherever you meet to worship God with a body of believers, there is the church. The words of that lovely hymn we often sing are so true. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. With His own blood, He bought her, and for her life, He died. Those words are so true. So can I finish by asking you, as I often ask myself, is there something, is there anything that we have grown to rely upon and depend on that is holding us back, that is holding me back from placing our full dependence on Christ alone? Are we ready? Are we willing to allow God to remove whatever that might be from our lives? And as I've said, It will not be something as magnificent as the Jerusalem temple, which had become only a symbol of God's presence, but something, maybe something very small, that God wants to take away for his glory alone. And so I pray that God will bless these words to our hearts this morning. Amen.
I'm going to ask you please to stand and we join together in the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one seed with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again. He ascended the scriptures. He descended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. Look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Now to our prayers. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear the prayers of those who ask in faith. Lord of your people, strengthen your church in all the world. We pray today for the worldwide mission of your church. Protect, we pray, all who serve you overseas, especially any who are facing danger, ridicule, or persecution. We remember those they're having to meet this morning for worship in secret for fear of their lives. Lord, be very near to each one and bring them words of comfort and strength. And near home, we pray for the life of this diocese of Darnley Dromore, for David, our bishop, and for all who serve in so many different ways throughout this diocese. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord of creation, look with favor on the world you have made. Protect those families who are living in places of war and unrest. Guide the leaders of the nations who are genuinely seeking the ways of peace and justice. Bless Charles, our king, and those who govern our country from Westminster and here at Stormont. Remember those who suffer through the effects of a climate that is changing, causing extreme temperatures, flooding, wildfires, and drought. Thinking especially of those who have lost loved ones, lost their homes, lost their livelihoods to the recent flooding in Spain. Lord, move in the hearts and minds of world leaders who want to give a firm lead in protecting the wonderful creation that you have given for all of us to enjoy. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, of our relationships, comfort and sustain the communities in which we live and work. Help us to love our neighbours as ourselves. Enable us to serve our families and friends, and to love one another as you love us. And Father, we give you thanks for this parish, worshipping together as one church family this morning. I'm praying especially for those who will be confirmed next Sunday by the bishop. Lord, send your Holy Spirit in power among us, uniting us in worship, nourishing us with truth, and strengthening us in our work and witness for you. Keep us firm in faith, clear in vision, and humble in service. Help us as a people always to stay close to you as members of the true church of Christ. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord of all healing, relieve and protect those who are sick or suffering, and be near those who have any special need. We pray for the depressed, the lonely, the unloved, those in sorrow, and any for whom each day seems to be an unending uphill struggle. So just in a moment or two of silence, maybe we could name someone to the Lord that we know to be in need. Let's keep a moment of silence. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Join together in the words of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Shall we stand for the peace? Christ is our peace. He has reconciled us to God in one body by the cross. We meet in his name and share his peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you, and also with you. Going to sing our offering hymn. It's number 9 in the Thanks and Praise hymn book, As We Gather at Your Table.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for these gifts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The service of Holy Communion continues at the bottom of page 208 of the Book of Common Prayer. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Try to give our thanks and praise. Father Almighty and ever-living God, at all times and in all places, it is right to give you thanks and praise. And so with all your people, with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and singing. Blessed are you, Father, the creator and sustainer of all things. You made us in your own image, male and female, you created us. Even when we turned away from you, you never ceased to care for us. But in your love and mercy, you freed us from the slavery of sin, giving your only begotten Son to become man, to suffer death on the cross to redeem us. He made there the one complete and all-sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. He instituted and in his holy gospel commanded us to continue a perpetual memory of his precious death until he comes again. On the night that he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks to you, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Therefore, Father, with this bread and this cup, we do as Christ your Son commanded. We remember his passion and death. We celebrate his resurrection and ascension. And we look for the coming of his kingdom. Accept through him, our great high priest, this our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts, of the life spirit,
that we may be made one in your holy church and partakers of the body and blood of your Son, that he may dwell in us and be in you. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory are yours, Almighty Father, for ever and ever. Amen. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. We being many are one body, for we all share in the one bread. Draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood which he shed for you. Remember that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. Given for you. The body of Christ given for you. The body of Christ given for you. Amen. And the blood of Christ shed for you. Blood of Christ shed for you. And the blood of Christ shed for you. Amen. Tell the blood of Christ shed for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. And the blood of Christ shed for you. Amen. The blood of Christ shed for you. Amen. The blood of Christ shed for you. The
Let us pray. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love. Give us grace and open the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights, give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. We pray together, Almighty God. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. So may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. To sing the recessional hymn is number 646, Glorious Things of Thee Are Spoken, and we omit verse 3.
Before streams of living water.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen.